What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Fit Life Podcast, connecting a clear path between the media and science to empower our listeners to live our fit life. I'm Kurt Solquist, your host and founder of Core Fit Inc., our gym in Spokane, Washington. It's more than a gym, really. It's a community, right? We're a place for inspiration. You're going to come into Core Fit and you're going to find a coach that's going to be sincere and passionate and care about your goals, help you push beyond your limitations you had walking into this door. Anything you thought you couldn't do, get ready to break through those barriers. We talk about that a lot in today's podcast. Before we get to that, though, I want to also mention one of our sponsors, the Ultimate Fitness Run here in Spokane, Washington, up on Mount Spokane. It's going to be going down June 15th. We've got a competitive open and kids division, and we've got a whole new lineup. We've got an awesome race for everyone getting out there. You're going to see some new scenery, get up to a new peak on Mount Spokane, probably one most of you guys have never been up to before. And then for our competitive racers, we've got a doubleheader. Imagine doing a 6-mile race, obstacle course style, what Ultimate Fitness Run is known for. Someone's going to push and challenge you. And then after a short recovery, going back out there for a 1 to 2 mile sprint race, where we're going to change up the obstacles, change up the parameters of what you're working for, and find out who is that ultimate fit athlete here in the Pacific Northwest area. And for those of you guys traveling in, check out one of our sponsors, Best Western. We've got deals going on up there for you guys' rooms. Make sure Best Western of Spokane, contact us if you have any questions and want to set up a promo code going out there for you. The UFR 2019 will get you that discount on your room. Also want to mention one of our other sponsors that are going to be at the race, Bo Tucker of Chiropractor Wellness Center. They have got an awesome piece of equipment that I own myself called the MyoRegulator. It is essentially a tool you guys can use to enhance your recovery, even stimulate your body prior to workouts. Get your warm-up going and get your muscles feeling like you've been warming up. They're loose and ready to go before you ever break a sweat. It's a great tool. Check that out at the Chiropractic Wellness Center here in Spokane, Washington, and check out their website, chiropractorwellnesscenter.com. You can find out more about our race, the ultimatefitnessrun.com, and of course, our gym at corefitinc.com. We'll have links to those in the show notes for you guys. But today, let's talk about this amazing podcast I just did with one of the most important people in my life, my brother. Truly, someone who's inspired me to be my best. He's always asking me and finding that way to help me fine-tune my goals, my motivation, my drive. And I think he's done that for a lot of people here. It's certainly a quality that he has. I don't know if he realizes how much that quality affects those people in his life. He's an inspirer, a motivator. He definitely does that when you're working out with him. I think everybody who's been in a class with Darren will agree with that. We get to talk about a little bit about our upbringing, kind of what got us to this point, what got us to the people we are today. And we talk a lot about that inspirational component. I dig it out of Darren a little bit, and he definitely lets it go and talks about what motivates himself and how he's been able to motivate other people to accomplish amazing things in their lives. So let's get into it right now. Introducing my brother, Darren Solquist. Here we go. All right, let's do this. Welcome to the show, Darren.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Thanks for listening.
Yeah, as I mentioned, I'm super excited to have my first podcast with a family member here, my brother, my one and only. 15-year age difference. So it's, it's been an interesting relationship growing up.
Sometimes people have a hard time telling who's the older one.
Yeah.
That's why I shaved my head and grew a gray beard.
Yeah, exactly. Help us out. Help everyone out there. Thank you. I think it would be great. I think people want to know, being brothers, what it was like growing up in the Solquist household.
Well, that was a pretty big difference, obviously, when being 15 years. You know, when you were born, I was in high school, and there'd be times when I'd take you out, and I'd be with my girlfriend in high school, and we'd be at the store, and they'd give us funny looks, thinking that we're young young parents and everything. But, you know, during that time, I was trying to spend time with you and do what I could. At that time, I was a junior in high school, so, you know, not a lot of closeness. And then when I graduated high school, Mom and dad were wanting to get out of California, all the hustle and bustle, wanted to make sure to get away from the fast pace of California. And they found Spokane and moved up to Washington. So there was a little bit of separation there. And part of the goal for me to also move was just to get out of California, but also to spend time with my family, be close to my family.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, too, I mean, what, you were about 21 when they moved up here?
I was 20 years old when they, I was 19 when they moved up here, and I came to visit, and I liked it. I really loved what Spokane had to offer. Just at that time in 1990, it was a pretty small town. You know, the fast pace of California was just kind of catching up with me, and then seeing the mountains and the snow and just being in the environment. Our parents bought a sweet house in 10 acres right in the middle of the forest, which, you know, growing up in Southern California, you just don't see that often. And then the blue skies, it was just a different way of life up here that I just wanted to be a part of. So I decided at 20 years old, just turning 21, I moved up here to Spokane. And it was a little rough.
This was like 1990, so...
Yeah, you know, so 90, 91.
Spokane was half the size it was now.
Yeah, not even anything. I mean, I think there was one or two clubs, you know, being 20, 21 years old, I was really wanting to, you know, going out, and that was what was important to me at that time, was having fun. And, you know, in California, I had a fake ID at a pretty young age, so I was out clubbing all the time, going to different places. And then when I came to Spokane, there's really only two places to go, and it just wasn't the same thing. And winter hit, and I snowboarded, which was fun, but it was just not the same of California. I used to surf, and we used to go to a lot of concerts and go out all the time, and talking with my friends, they were doing these things, and it was hard for me to, it was a rough transition the first year that I moved to Spokane. So I did move back down to California for 2 years, but because I thought I missed it, and I realized that no, I didn't. And I just, I needed to get away from California just to kind of get up here and start make a difference for myself. I just wasn't going in the best direction. I was working and just partying all the time. And I just thought at age 23, when I made the second move to Spokane, that I needed to grow up. So I kind of really moved up to try to be a better life.
I think it's a really pivotal part. I mean, it's something to appreciate too. Like, you had that opportunity to live where you wanted at that point to some degree, and you saw two different worlds. You know, you see LA and then you see Spokane, and Spokane in the 1990s for that matter too. Like, it makes you, I think if you grow up here, you know, you don't appreciate that. It's what you're used to. It's the only thing you know. And to be able to see that contrast probably really helped you become the person you are today.
Yeah, to some degree. Just, I think for things to slow down, the difference in, you know, with between California and Washington, you know, California, Southern California, yeah, I mean, awesome, fun, great experiences. I mean, definitely things I don't think would have experienced up here in Spokane with the size of the city that it was. But, you know, the four seasons was what really attracted me to this area as well. California, you pretty much have summer and a little bit of spring, winter. But, you know, when I came to this area to see fall, to see the colors of the trees and the plants and everything, the fall colors was just awesome. And then when spring hits and all the trees and the plants, the leaves, the branches come alive, it's just like, it really allows you to take a moment to sit back and appreciate life, appreciate why we are here.
The great PNW, exactly. I think that's why, you know, this is for sure one of the most beautiful places in the world. I think anyone who's traveled around will agree that, you know, there's obviously those little nooks and crannies around the world, but overall what Spokane and the Pacific Northwest has to offer with the lakes, the mountains, the seasons, you're really not that far from getting over to the coast and going way inland too, and going somewhere way deep like Montana. So you've got so many amazing things in Canada all around you right here in the Northwest.
Yeah, I mean, that's the big thing. And people say, you know, you're a product of your environment. And until you get out there and try new things and do new things, I mean, you don't know what's available to you. And that's definitely something that has been introduced to me by living in the Northwest. Just again, like what you're saying, man, all the lakes and the mountains and just the trails that that you can go do. I mean, the mountain ranges that you can hike. It's just awesome. And then, you know, summer comes around, it's you know, it's 90 to 100 degrees here. You have all the lakes that you can go to. The days are long, so it doesn't get dark till 9, 10 o'clock at night. So you really get to enjoy summer. And then when fall comes, you know, the time changes, it's starting to get cooler, it starts to slow down. Winter hits, kind of allows you just to slow down yourself and kind of, you know, check in with yourself and maybe do other things. It gets dark a lot earlier, so that's definitely a difficult time during that time of year. But I think if you can find routines or hobbies, that's the word I was looking for, hobbies, to like, you know, snowshoeing or cross-country skiing, snowboarding, you know, just doing something outdoors just to, again, enjoy life. Get out there and where you can breathe and just breathe in the fresh air and just look around and go places that not a lot of people maybe travel or go to and just really absorb that. And that's what kind of being alive is, not just going to work 9 to 5, being in your office and then going back home and going, you know, to bed.
Yeah, exactly. You know, all the things you described that make the Northwest an amazing place all involve being physically active, you know, involves getting out there and experiencing the mountains, the lakes, to take advantage of those things, or hiking on the trails and to see those most beautiful places. There's a little bit of footwork that usually needs to be done to get into the really heart of what nature is and experience that and what it all is out there in the PNW.
Yeah, and you know, this finding groups that you can go to, whether it's REI or Mountain Gear or any other shops around here, that utilizing the magazines that are available to you with Out There or Inlander. You know, there's always activities going around in this area. You just have to find them and go enjoy it.
Back to growing up Sahlquist here, you and getting out to that place to where now that, you know, doing those things that you do in life, what led you down that path? You know, what was training? Because obviously, you know, the Fit Life podcast, we're talking about how fitness, our lifestyle influences where we are today and how we live this fit life, our best life. What was it like? When did you start going to the gym? What was training? What influenced you to start with down that path?
You know, I think for both of us, Kurt, you know, we've been pretty fortunate to have a pretty active family. Both of our parents were involved in exercise, and you know, our mom was a long distance runner. She liked to do a lot of running, and our dad was into bodybuilding. He got into lifting, so that's really what got me into lifting. I think I started probably lifting a little bit, you know, started throwing, you know, playing around like the kids do in elementary school. And then when I got into junior high school, I started going to the gym with our dad. And the gym that he went to down in Southern California in Riverside was called Spectrum. And it was a pretty hardcore gym, a lot of bodybuilders, a lot of individuals that competed, that were on the stage, Mr. Universe, Mr. America, went to bodybuilding seminars, Franco Colombo, a couple other individuals back in the day, was just really led us down that path of fitness and exercise and throwing the weights around. Plus, I always played sports from elementary school to junior high up to high school. So that, you know, being involved in sports, being around our parents that were active and had weights, we had a gym at the house even. And then even where we grew up in Southern California, we didn't live in necessarily the city. We lived out in the country. And I rode my bike everywhere. So just being, I raced BMX when I was younger. So doing those things, I was always kind of active. And it wasn't something our parents ever pushed on us. It's just they led by example. And I think that's where a lot of people just kind of follow, is like, follow that lead. You know, who you are and who you're around is kind of sometimes what you become. And that's where I think we're kind of, both of us really got into fitness, is just by from our parents.
Yeah, I think, you know, with my kids right now, seeing them grow up similar to how I grew up, even more so since, you know, my dad didn't own the gym, but went to the gym daily. And that's the same thing for me, obviously. You know, I started out going with dad to the gym, and about, I remember it was right around middle school, about seventh grade, I think, for myself, started going to the gym with him after school. I remember he even adjusted his schedule. So he would normally go around 10 or 11, I think, and go to the gym. And he started picking me up from school, and we'd go to the gym together. And obviously that's, you know, led me to the path I am on today. And seeing my little guys come to the gym and just play and see this place as a place where they have fun. You know, it's a place to be with dad or be with mom, and also to run around and be free and do what kids naturally do.
Yeah. And just developing those habits already. I mean, the kids don't know. I mean, right now they're sponges, and what they're learning right now, they're learning exercise as a part of life. So that's where I'm super proud of how you're raising your kids, and, you know, my nephews and the things that they do, watching Cruz, you know, jump onto that box step the other day, and then him climbing the rope at, you know, he's 5 years old, just turned six, but being able to do those things, the just him wanting to come here and work out, and even the pictures you have around here of you and him doing the kettlebells, and you just see it's this big smile on his face. And not only that, it's just it's a great time to spend a father-son time. I mean, just what a great bond that to create with your children. And that's, I think, what we had with our parents and our father by going to the gym. And I think that's a time that he definitely obviously appreciated as well, spending that time with us and sharing those things and seeing us develop and become stronger and just being physically fit.
I think you fast forward that, you know, I mean, obviously over your young kids, you're a big influence on them. But even as they get older, you know, they want to listen to mom and dad less and start doing more of their own thing. But it's still not too late if this is something new to you or something you've been thinking about, because as a product of, you know, you are that average of the people you're around the most. I think you can't ever tell your loved one like, hey, you know, hey, honey, I think you've put on a little bit of weight. You need to go to the gym. You know, you can imagine how that's going to turn out.
Right.
But if you start going to the gym, you start eating a little healthier, you know, passing on, you know, the soda on the dinner table or getting the bag of chips out or whatever it is, you start passing on those things and those other people start to notice, they might start to ask why. And then they might start to, you know, I think most people for the first couple months, even 6 months or longer, are going to wait to see if you break. But they see you get past that point and make it 6 months, make it a year, make it even 2 or 3 years. That person is going to be, they might not get as deep into it as you are. They might not go to the gym as often as you are or make all the healthy choices that you've decided to start making to not only better your life, but try and help those around you. They're going to be better because of that. I guarantee it. They will be making conscious choices to do a little bit less of the bad habits that they've developed or you guys have maybe developed together over our life as we get busy. We go to school, we go to work, we come home, we look for a quick, easy meal to make, we go to bed, we wake up and we do it all over again. That's a routine. I know that's a routine that you've been in, Darren, for, you know, the last couple of years of working your way up, you know, working at your organization that you're at, getting into the management, and then going back to school to further your position with that organization. Now you've been going to school full time and working full time and going to the gym. How have you done that?
Yeah, that's that's been a challenge for sure. You know, one of the big things for me, I've never been a big school person. Even in high school, for me, there was just a social time. It was an avenue of somewhere where I could play sports. You know, even going to college, I had a opportunity at one of our junior colleges in Southern California that, you know, I was a good athlete, and I had the junior college call me, hey, you should come play for us, you know, we're a good organization. I was like, yeah, but I gotta go to school. I don't want to go to school. And so it kind of sucked. I always regret saying no to that. And you know, they actually won the championships that year, and just it kind of really bummed me out. But, you know, going through life, I like construction. My dad was involved in construction, heavy equipment, owned his own business. His brother was involved in construction, owned his own business. So that's kind of what I did for a while. I did construction. When I moved here to Spokane, I got up here the second time I moved up. I worked with Pepsi-Cola for a while, worked my way up in that company. And as I was going there, they offered you money to go to school. So I thought, well, I could take a couple classes because I wanted to try to work my way up in the company. And I was always looking, how could I make more money? And a friend of mine that I worked with, his wife was actually going through the PT assistant, a physical therapist assistant program at the Spokane Falls. And I decided, you know, hey, I've always been interested in physical therapy. It's health related. It's kind of what I do anyways with the physical fitness. That's something I think I can do. So I did some volunteer work in it. And I really fell in love with it. It's like you are kind of living the lifestyle of being healthy and fit, but then working with individuals that are going through their own issues to help them also become, you know, work through their mobility issues or anything that's going on with them, any ailments. So when I finished, I went to school to become a PT assistant, and I started working at St. Luke's Rehab. I've been at St. Luke's Rehab for 20 years now, and through that time, I've been able to work myself up in the company and got myself into management. And part of the deal was that they wanted me to have my bachelor's degree, and I was like, okay. They gave me 5 years, luckily. And I said, oh, I can do that. You know, I can do anything. That's kind of how I feel. It's always been my motto that I don't want to put obstacles in front of me. There's things that I know I can do, and school is one of those things. It's just putting the time in. So I made that decision to sign up for school. It was online school, so I went through Western Governors University, which was completely different for somebody I would say of my age. I'm 48 right now. And going to school in an online environment where it's all based on my time. I have to make the time. They put the structure together. Here's the classes that you take. But I have to make the time. And during that time, when I started going back to school, my routine was, you know, going to work. I'd go to the gym after work and then go home and do whatever. Go with my dogs. We did a lot of competitions with our dogs. Again, through my dad is another activity that we did, a lot of hobbies with Rottweilers. And so when I made that decision to go back to school, I was trying to work, go to the gym, and then go home and study. And I wasn't having success with that. I just would be tired, and I didn't have the motivation to study. So I had to make the change. One, I didn't want to give up working out, as that was a big stress reliever for me in my life. It was something that, again, that was ingrained in me from, again, early childhood. So it was a routine. It was something that I enjoyed doing. So I had to make the decision, well, if I want to work out and I want to get through school, I have to do one thing or the other, either get up and study or get up and go to the gym. And I thought it'd be easier to get up and go to the gym than to try to get up and study. So I start doing that and coming to the 6 a.m. class at your class, Kurt. And then from there, just it became habit, and then going through school and doing studying in the afternoon. And I just, 2 Fridays ago, I took my last test.
Yeah,
passed that. And so I feel super relieved that I don't have to study now. But I still have a paper to write. That's the only thing I have left to be done, to have my get to earn my bachelor's degree. So it's been a journey, but to find that balance between, you know, working full time, and again, my position is a little bit more of a desk job, so I'm behind the desk a lot, and then to study, for the goal would be at least 2 hours in the evening, which again, it's online, so it's creating that time, and again, behind the desk a lot, and then going home. At that time, I was also remodeling my house over this 3 years, which probably wasn't the best choice to make during that time. I got married this last year as well, so you know, just finding the balance. I had a lot of opportunities to say I could give up working out, you know, because I got to focus on school, or I'm burnt out from remodeling the house, or, you know, there's a lot of excuses. But there again, I think because of the habits that have been established with ourselves, with our families, with working out, being that just that's just part of what we do, that's part of our DNA, that was not something that I wanted to give up. Plus, that was my best stress reliever. You know, I wanted to do yoga and wanted to do some other things. Obviously, I couldn't do everything. Kurt and I were also, you know, we were starting to mess around with a little Brazilian jiu-jitsu and practicing, which is not something I didn't have the time to do. And then, of course, then throwing in Spartan races. I even forgot that we did that over this course of these 3 years of doing Spartan races, and actually climbed 2 mountains, Mount Adams and Mount St. Helens. So, you know, I think doing all that, trying to find balance in activity and staying active, is really kind of what helped me get through school. It took me 3 years to get my bachelor's. Again, I still have one more class to go, so I don't want to put the horse before the cart here too soon, or the cart before the horse here too soon, because I still got one more class to earn that degree. But it's just finding that balance and having something as a stress reliever, which has been the gym.
Yeah, I think if you look at that, I mean, probably people hear and say, well, you know, it was easy because you were already going to the gym for so long before that, you grew up going to the gym. But not only did that ingrain that deep habit for you with all those things on your plate, I mean, you obviously still, you climb the mountains, you've been doing the Spartan races, you've been doing everything we do here, and plenty of other things beyond that. I think what you have to take out of that picture is like, okay, yes, having the habits of going to the gym helped you keep that in your life, but you also had the idea of the return that you get from that hour that you give to go to the gym gives you a greater return. So anyone out there that's thinking about, well, they're in the opposite position. I've already got my plate loaded. I've got a family and I work. Or maybe they're going to school and they work and they have a family. Whatever that balance is, you have to realize, I think if you just can invest, getting started even 2 or 3 hours a week on your fitness, adding in that extra time of moving, getting your body, getting a little sweat going, getting your lungs stretching out, your heart pumping. I mean, think about that. If you're not exercising, when does your heart ever pump blood? I mean, when you walk up the stairs, is that what we have to count, is like your heart actually beating hard in your chest, or somebody scares you? When is it beating hard in prolonged periods like it would be in normal everyday life if you were having to drag back, you know, the deer that you harvested, or you were building your lodge for where you're going to sleep, like you were doing laborious work, or you were running, you're going to that next place to get water, whatever it was, back 100,000 years ago before you had a car to drive you there, before you had easy transportation and chairs and all these different things that make life so comfortable. So going back to the point, you realize that investing, keeping that hour in your day for fitness really was like a exponential return in your day, right? It gave you more energy to fulfill all the other things that kept you satisfied. If it didn't give you more time in the day because it took an hour away, it kept your optimism up. It gave you more energy on the next day, or maybe even that day after the workout when you're stimulated after leaving here, going to work, starting your day off right, and then being able to go home and do your studying, being able to go out and train or do something exciting like climb a mountain, run a Spartan race, or even that crazy workout you did at the gym that day. You were filling your own cup up and thus were able to keep your spirits up and keep moving forward on knocking out this goal. You had 5 years to do it. You had 5 years to get your bachelor's degree, and you said you got it done in 3.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I think a big part of that too is with, I mean, like, it would have been very easy to not have, to stop that commitment to coming to the gym, or even say, well, I'll go to the gym 2 days a week. But, you know, I maintain trying to come 4 to 5 days a week. You know, there's a couple, you know, obviously during this 3 years where I, you know, there's a couple days where I maybe I'd come 2 days or 3 days, but the majority of the time I was trying to come 4 to 5 days a week. And the purpose of that was, this is what gave me my peace, and that this is not something that I wanted to give up. This is something that was important to me. Plus it helped my stress levels. Being in management and, you know, dealing with sometimes stressful situations, then trying to study and learn new things and really trying to understand those things, I needed something for myself that I enjoyed, that I could breathe, that would clear my mind, that would just allow me to just go to a different place. And it's almost a sense of meditation in some fashion. And the other part of just going to the gym, I think it's one thing, and again, this is everybody, to each their own, but I think what really helped me through this process as well is just this gym environment that you created here, Kurt, the community, that knowing that when I come here to the 6 a.m. or even at times I'd go to the 5 a.m. if I had a lot of work going on, that's again another big thing of, you know, for me to get here to the 5 a.m. I'd have to get up at 3:30 in the morning so I can get here by 5. And that's how strong of a commitment this is what this gym means to me and working out. But having the community here, knowing that there's other people here that I can talk to, other people that are going through the same struggles, you know, in their lives, and that, I think that's what kind of keeps us all together, and that's what I really think is the staple of what you bring, just the creativity that you bring to your workouts, but the people that are here at this gym. It's just a strong community. It doesn't matter if you go to the 5 a.m. or the 6 a.m. or you go to the 4:15 or the 5:30 or the noon. Everybody welcomes you. You get to know everybody. And then the events that you have here at Core Fit, with the backpacking trips or going up to Arbor Crest, or the event that we have coming up here shortly, which is the celebrating the new year coming into 2019. The polar plunge of just cleansing and starting the new year, starting fresh, of, you know, we're rolling into a new year, working on Wim Hof. I mean, just the different things that you have brought to your gym and brought to this community, and the people that are here. Everybody's so close. There's many people that if we're going through struggles or somebody's going through a struggle, that it's almost like a church where we're all here to help each other. If somebody's going through something, we all pitch in and help out. And that, I think that's what's awesome about this. It's just, it's a family. It's the CoreFit family. It's the CoreFit community. And that's what really helped me through the school process, wanting to show up, you know, being accountable. It's not just, you know, when you have a workout partner and you're going to the gym throwing weights around, you have your partner that you're accountable to. But when you have a gym in the groups that you have where there's 10, 15, or, you know, some days 6 or 7, but those people that are here, you all share those experiences. And you know, by showing up, either that person is inspiring you or you're inspiring somebody else. And that's what I think is so cool about this, is being here to just to help each other.
Yeah, I think that reminds me of a study I was just came across where they're talking about the greatest returns in, you know, your life or your energy or what you get out of it cost you something. Meaning, like, when you're working out and you are going through something somewhat strenuous, you're breathing hard again, your heart's pounding, you're sweating, you know, this is uncomfortable in the moment. This is something that I might not want to do right at that moment or right before I started it. But yet, everybody's doing it with you. You look over and that person is pushing and that coach says your name and they're cheering you on and you keep going. And before you know it, you accomplished it. You're there. You're at the end of the workout or you're at the end of the race. And what you get out of that moment of knowing, like, I overcame the doubts I had going through that workout. I overcame hey, I woke up this morning and I didn't really want to go. But now I did it and I accomplished it and I know how dang hard that was. And I now know how strong I am. I now recognize that I can accomplish, you know, even when the going gets tough, I don't stop. I keep going. And those people doing that with you is, I think, what really creates that community bond that goes beyond anything out there that you're going to just, you know, meet somebody and, you know, build, you know, a nice friendship and you guys talk about whatever. But when you guys work hard and overcome these tasks together, I think that creates a deeper bond. And I think the other part that's super important that stems out of this and what I think has been a pivotal part of CoreFit and what I've really learned over the years of building this is how important that, yes, fitness isn't just about the hour that we're here, that fitness improves every aspect of our life, whether it's our family relationships, whether it's just how we live our life. And that's the whole point of the Fit Life, that fitness leads us to these other avenues, like you were talking about, like getting out there and doing the polar plunge together, you know, overcoming the not wanting to jump into the cold ice. Or maybe it's just doing something fun, like going to Arborcrest, where it's, you know, it's a winery here in Spokane, and just sitting down and enjoying music and drinking wine. You know, that's another great way of living. I think that was it's a great experience we do every year. But personally, I feel like doing that polar plunge and overcoming jumping out of that cold water and going to breakfast afterwards and having a hot cup of coffee and breakfast with everyone who did it is something that sticks out in my mind way more than, you know, sitting down and having a glass of wine. That's great. I love that. But it's those other things we do together, I think, that really ultimately, like, give you the greatest return on investment. Like, make your cup feel full, make you feel satisfied, make you feel happy, make you feel at peace when you get ready and go to bed that night and sleep good.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, we talk about the polar plunge. It's a life experience. It's something that you can look back on, and it's one of those things that a lot of people say, oh, why would you want to do that? That's crazy. Why would you want to jump in cold water? Because you can. That's the thing. Why put obstacles or barriers in front of you? Yes. Who in their right mind wants to go jump in 34, 40 degree temperature water and it's cold outside? But to put that challenge in front of you, to say, I can do that, or I'm willing to do that, or at least willing to try, and then to do it, and you're doing it with a group that other people are going through that same experience for the first time as well. And then when you come out of that water, yeah, it's cold, it's freezing, but then as you start warming up, you start thinking, ah, what an awesome experience. And again, it's one of those things. Better to have done something, I'd rather have done something than not to have done something. I'd rather regret something I did than regret something I didn't do. And that's where I'm kind of in this frame of mind of, you know, when that time comes when I'm on my deathbed, and looking back at my life, is there anything that I didn't do because that I could have done, but I limited myself? And I think that's the biggest obstacles that people have to overcome, is limiting themselves. And we put limits in front of us. What other limits are we going to put? You know, this is where I think there was a podcast I listened to, and he talked about, you know, waking up and making your bed every morning. If that's a simple task that you cannot complete, but you just cannot get up and make your bed in the morning, what else can't you do? What else are you not doing? Same thing going to bed at night. If you can't go to bed at night and brush your teeth, what else can't you do? I mean, what a simple task that is. So those are the things of trying to put challenges in front of yourself, or doing things just because you can. I mean, you know, you have to set goals for yourself. And that's where I think, again, working in that community, being around other people, you know, doing things by yourself is difficult. You know, you think about prison, and they put prisoners in solitary confinement because they know that's going to drive them crazy being by themselves. And that's where I think the gym environment, being around a community, is that you are around like-minded people. You are around people that are going through the same challenges or have experienced the same challenges that you have. And the people that here come to CoreFit have had challenges with weight loss or just physical fitness, or you know, never thinking, oh, I can never do that type of workout. And that's what's funny too, or I think you've mentioned it before, Kurt, where people feel like, well, I got to work out first and get in shape before I go to your gym. It's not like that at all. This is where you come to get in shape, because you don't know what kind of shape you need to be in. So you come here, and then what you do, Kurt, which is awesome, is what you put together, is you put together pretty much an individual program for them to help them achieve those things. And that's what's been awesome for me to see. I've invited people here, friends of mine, that, oh, I couldn't do that stuff, or I got my own routine, and I do this and I do that. I'm like, well, just come try the gym out. I guarantee you'll like it. It's just the environment, everybody that's around you. And then to see people, you know, start out like, okay, let's see where you are. Can you climb that rope? No, you can't climb that rope. And then 6 months, or maybe even a year later, boom, they reach that off that goal and they climb that rope. And to see that look on their face of something that they could never do, and then as they've got, oh, I'm older now, you know, I can't do these things. But as you age, that they're doing these things. I mean, even look at Cindy John. She's in her 60s, and she's climbing that rope. I mean, she talk about it. Inspirational people that you have coming to your gym. I mean, Cindy John is just, she's definitely somebody that's inspirational to me, of just showing up every day and putting the work in, and coming in with a little bit of an attitude, a little bit of a spitfire, and, you know, the fireball that she is, and obviously that's her favorite drink. But, you know, just that's what this environment's about. It's just the community, having people that inspire you, and then being inspirational to other people.
Yeah, it definitely comes back to that. What you said, if it's that, you know, your true potential is impossible to recognize or to know until you remove the limitations that you have on yourself. And to remove those limitations, you know, it takes two people. It takes more than just yourself to truly be able to pull back the limitations that you have most likely placed on yourself in your life. And you don't even know it. You don't even know you're walking around with those chains on until you are inspired to lift those chains off with the group, you know, helping you push past those things or jump into that ice cold lake, right? I mean, how many people just wake up and say, I'm going to go jump into an ice cold lake by myself, you know? I mean, it's probably a pretty rare thing. Definitely does happen. There are individuals that do that, but the vast majority of us are going to benefit when, hey, my friend and me are going to go out to the lake today. We're going to do this together, and we're going to jump into this lake. And that's where you have the whole community here of people. You know, nobody is running into that lake saying, I can't wait to get in there. It's all like, okay, are you ready for this? Let's do this together. We're going to remove any limitations we have that we can't do this, or you shouldn't do this. No regrets. We're going to live our life, and we're going to enjoy every moment of it and live that day to the fullest, you know, the true essence of carpe diem.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. Something that you don't think you can do, and then actually when you do it, like again, talking about that lake water, because that's a lot of things, is that's the most recent thing that we've really done. But once you've done it, and you come out, and you realize, geez, I never thought I would do something like that, and then you do it, and then to have that feeling of accomplishment, when you come out of that water and think that you did it. And again, as we go out to Michael D's and we have the breakfast and we're sitting around and think, wow, that wasn't that bad. What else am I shorting, you know, not challenging myself with? Things that I don't think I can do. That opens up the door to your life to maybe trying to go after other accomplishments. And I think that's the one thing I probably find about the Polar Plunge is, when you brought that up the first year, we was like, what the heck, man? Why? What's Kurt thinking? Again, it's not something that I wanted to do. But to be supportive of the gym, being part of the community. You know, we had a big group. I don't remember how many people that we had that first time, 15, close to 20 people. And it's just like, okay, we're doing this as a group.
Single digits that day.
Yeah. And it was
the first day we were going to do this. Yeah,
it was cold. It was windy. It was a cold day. And getting out there and, you know, we're in our robes and getting ready to go out in the lake. I'm all thinking, what the hell are we doing right now? This is crazy. But to go out and do it, get in that water. And I even did it twice because I ran in like, oh, can I ran back out? And then you were still out there. I think Jessica, my wife, was still out there. There's a couple of, okay, I got to go back in there. So then I ran back in again because I felt like I missed out. or I kind of felt like I was being a little bit of a wuss by just running in and running it back out. So I kind of ran back in. And then again, ran right back out. But it was that experience of saying, okay, that wasn't that bad. And that's what I think what life should be about, that sometimes we put our own obstacles, we put our own walls in front of us and think that we cannot get over that wall. But once we do, and we're on the other side of that wall, we look at it and think, that was not that bad. So what more can I do? And I think that's what this gym has done for a lot of people. And the things that you have created, even creating the ultimate fitness run and, you know, doing obstacles like that, even opening this gym and the timeline that when you went from the Paulson building to this building that you're at and you had your timeline. And I remember us working together and working on this. I'm like, Kurt, I go, you know, maybe you can push it out another week. And, you know, I want to open up February, you know, first, I think it was, whatever that first week in February is. No, this is my goal. And I remember being here like, oh, geez, how are we going to get this done? But you put the work in and you made it happen. And that's the part of life that people need to do, is not put obstacles in front of them. Don't limit yourself. You are your strongest coach and you also your strongest opponent. And you have to find that balance to be able to accomplish those things. And I think that's where, you know, here at the gym, when we're going through obstacles, we're going through WODs, we're going through a high intensity workout, you know, sometimes I like to yell out and try to motivate other people that I see are struggling. And I'm doing that because I'm kind of struggling myself. And that helps me get fired up. When I start getting tired and I think that my body can't do any longer and we still got another 5 minutes left of this workout, I have to fire up. I have to put myself in that mode of just get through it. It's another 5 minutes. I've already accomplished 10. I can do 5 more minutes. Or if I have 100 burpees and I've already done 60, okay, I only have 40 burpees to do. You know, look at those ways to achieve climbing up that mountain and knowing that I'm almost at the top.
Yeah, certainly. I think the whole concept of just getting yourself that next second, getting yourself that next degree is always got to be on your focus. It's, you know, there's a great thing I've been working on, meditation. And that's like, well, that reminds me too, like what you were saying about jumping in that first year in the lake. Like, I had been working on this program through Wim Hof, and it was basically, it's kind of a version of meditation. And you are working on being in control of your body, being in control of your feelings and your thoughts. You know, your mind is your most powerful tool. You've got this body, and your body's like a vessel. It's like you can imagine that we are in our own, you know, what are those called, met warriors, or those robots you'd get inside and you control those robots. I mean, that's essentially what you are. You have this body that your mind, that person in your brain, whatever, is controlling. And if you can be in control of your feelings, your thoughts, and everything else, you can take your body beyond its comfort levels and realize, I'm going to be okay. And that's where I was able to get in that lake that year and work up. I think that day, I don't know, I was somewhere around 5 or 6 minutes hanging out in the lake. And then I went back because I didn't hit my goal. And I went back and I went into the Spokane River in January and stayed out there for the time that I was looking for. And that time I actually did go by myself. And it was funny to see Gonzaga's crew team come by while I was sitting out there in the river. And I think they probably, you know, thought they saw
Someone trying to commit suicide.
Yeah, they're calling 911. This guy in the water.
But it was all about the idea, again, overcoming. You can overcome those limitations, and it's just being in control of your mind and your thought process, and having people around you to help you get there is certainly going to make that process easier and help you guarantee it. And those of you guys thinking about starting on your own is a whole nother scenario versus put yourself around the people and become part of a community that are already have the habits instilled that you want for yourself. That's the key. Whether you're here now or you're thinking about it, like, put yourself around those people that are doing the races or doing the runs or getting to the gym as often as you want to or eating better. That's going to make the difference. I guarantee you put yourself in a scenario where you go out with your friends who want to order, cheesy fries and beers.
And nachos.
And you are thinking about ordering, something a little healthier. You're going to feel odd about it. But then flip that scenario. Go out with your friends that are going to, they might order a beer or something, but they're not going to order cheesy fries and beers, and that's going to be their dinner that night. They're going to order healthier foods and, less likely to order soda pops and whatever else and go have a cigarette too. You're going to be the one that's going to feel like the odd duck when you want to go have a smoke break. You want to go, order shots after shots. You're going to be that odd duck sitting at that table when everybody else is trying to live, a little healthier life so they can wake up tomorrow and experience life and put in that investment that's going to get that exponential return we were talking about.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a good point that you're making there as well, is the surrounding yourself with the friends that have like-minded values and like-minded goals that you're working on. I definitely, when we go out to eat, if I'm going out with friends that I know aren't really focused on their diet, maybe I might order something because I don't have to worry about, nobody's going to give me any crap about if I order something that might not be the healthiest. But if I'm going out to dinner with you and Maury, then yeah, I got to make different choices because I know you're going to give me the look. So that's the whole point of, again, who do you surround yourself by? And then also, what's hard is I don't think people mean to be negative when they hear that you're on a diet or you're trying to get healthy. But when you go out to eat and you're ordering certain foods and like, oh, why are you eating that way? Or you might order something like, oh, is that on your diet? Yeah. People want to question. Sometimes people want to see you fail. And it's not, or they challenge you. And that's the thing, is why have somebody challenge you in a way that's questioning you versus being around individuals that will support you and help you be successful. And I think that's another big part of what this gym brings. Again, the people, when we have our get-togethers and we have potlucks, it's not like you're going to go to some Super Bowl party and you have to worry about, okay, what am I going to be able to eat at this party? But when you go to a CoreFit party, there's going to be tons of food there that you're going to be able to eat, and you're going to find foods that are like, oh, can I get the recipe to this, because this is awesome. This is keto, or this is paleo, or this is Whole30, or this has no sugar, or you made this with almond flour, you tweaked it. I mean, that's what's so cool, that people share their ideas and their recipes and things that have been working for them, which again just helps you be successful. And in life, I think to be successful, sometimes you do, it's who you surround yourself by. It's just, again, we got into physical fitness because of our parents. Had we been around parents that physical fitness wasn't part of their routine, and watching TV and eating popcorn or doing something that was not active, we wouldn't, one, probably be sitting here having this podcast, and who knows how much we'd be, what type of shape we'd be in.
Yeah, definitely. And what you said, you can't hold that against your friends. That's human nature, because those friends fit exactly into the scenario we've been talking about of they have limitations on their life, and they believe these limitations are it. They believe, the ceiling is only 6 feet high, and if they go up to 6'2", they're going to run into it. They have this invisible obstacle that Darren's talking about that they believe is unconquerable in their life. And when they see someone testing that, they have this nature of like, nah, that's not really possible. That's not going to work. That idea that you're going to stick to this diet plan, longer than 14 days, which is what the normal person accomplishes, is probably highly unlikely and, virtually impossible. A few people get through the cracks every now and then, but I know, because I have these invisible limitations that they don't realize, that you eating healthy and going to the gym or whatever your routine is to better your life is not going to work. And by you doing the thing we talked about at the very beginning of this podcast and showing up and just being successful, don't shove it down anybody's throat. You can't tell them what to do, but you can just keep showing up and keep doing what you do to get 1% better every day. That's all you have to do is set a goal for yourself to get 1% better. We're not going to come in here and ask you to be able to run 5 miles on your first day you work out, right? We're going to come in here and ask you, hey, let's just move. Let's just move for 30 minutes and then we'll do some stretching. And the next time you're ready to, hey, let's move just a few more extra minutes a day. And by the time you've been making this routine and you've built your way into it and you're around these people, you're seeing these other people do these things, you're all of a sudden thinking like, hey, this is the normal. This is what I want to be doing. This is what I know I can be doing, because you've readjusted your focus, your view, and you realize the sky, the ceiling isn't only 6 feet high. There's no limits to it. The only limits that ever existed were the ones that I thought were there. There are none. The sky goes up infinitely.
Yeah, and then it's going to open up to new opportunities and you're going to try new things. I mean, a person that comes to mind right now is Ann Johnson. She came to this gym. I remember when she walked in, her and her husband, and we had an event going on that day, so I was able to walk up and have a conversation with her. And she's like, oh, I'm thinking about looking for a gym. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, this would be interesting. Let's see how she does. And, she's talking to her husband. Her husband's like, yeah, if this is what you want to do, it's up to you. And she's like, okay. And she shows up to the gym, like, oh, cool, she's here. And then that was, I think, 3 years ago, and she's still
there. I remember that day, actually. Exactly. That was about 4 years ago.
Yeah, and then not only that, but just not her success of coming to the gym and being a member for 3 years, but she goes out, and then she's done Spartan races. And then we'll find out, though. She'll post pictures. She'll be in Idaho doing a Spartan race, which she hasn't even talked to any of us about. Maybe she's talked to a couple other members, but she just signs up for things now and goes out there and does it. It's something that I never knew that was in her, that something that she had accomplished. And those are things also, the members of the Spartan, of CoreFit, of the Spartan races that we've gone to, the events that we do, that, again, that community environment where people join this gym and then go out and experience and try things that they've never thought they would do in their life. And that's where, when we go to Spartan races, usually we're at least 10 to 15 people deep from CoreFit going out and doing this event. I mean, the Montana Beast that's coming up in May, we show up at least with 15 to 20 plus people.
It'll be more than 20, yeah.
Yeah, every year, and this has been ongoing. And then other people get into it, like, what's this beast? Or even going to the Ultimate Fitness Run, like, okay, yeah, I'm working out here. Yeah, let me see what I can do. Challenging themselves on something that they never thought that they would do before in their life, and just experiencing new things. And why? It's because of who they surrounded themselves by. If they would not have walked into this gym, I don't know if Ann Johnson would be doing any of these Spartan races. I don't know if some of the individuals that are doing the things that they're doing, jumping into the lake, would have done those things, climbing ropes, doing the monkey bars, doing power cleans, trying new things, adding new things into the routine. That's what life is about. It's if you live this sheltered life and not trying new things and going out there and surrounding yourself with people that inspire you. And that's the part I think here again at the gym is that there's so many different dynamics of different people that are here from in their 20s up until they're into their 60s. And the group that we're all friends. And that's, I think that's what's awesome, is that every one of us can go out and do things. I mean, the CoreFit backpacking, I mean, we had, I think, close to 20 people that we went for a 2-3 day hike. The events that we go to Priest Lake and camp overnight, and even people that can't make it at least come up for the day, and again, 20-30 people deep. It's just awesome. And again, it's not that these people were friends before, it's just they become friends at this gym. And what has been created here is just, again, it's that support, and to be able to have a conversation or rely on somebody or know that somebody is going through the same struggles that you are. And those are things that I've dealt with. I mean, with my diet, the last 3 years, the way I eat, I'm definitely a roller coaster weight loss person. I've been the heaviest at 220 and the lightest at probably 180 most recently. But, this roller coaster of how I go in my habits, and that's the thing right now, where as I'm moving into 2019, I'm really trying to focus on new things and really focusing on developing myself. I'm really trying to focus on becoming the best person that I can to be the best version of me possible. And I think for 48 years, I haven't been doing that. So for 2019, that's what the whole Polar Plunge meant to me this year, was to go into that water, 2018, and the 48 years that I've lived so far. And when I came out of that water, my plan was to dunk myself, go underneath that water, come back up and wake up into 2019 and wake up into a new goal and new experiences for my life, to work on, like what you talk about, that 1%. Can I be 1% better every day and have that compound effect? And then go through that process of, can I be the best version of me? What is that best version of me? And it's not going to happen overnight, but as long as I'm working on that 1% every day to be the best version of me, the conversations that I have with people, my lifestyle, my eating habits, working, going to the gym, you know, just to keep that on my mind of, what am I doing right now? Is this going to help me become the best version of me? And keeping that in the forefront of my mind.
No, yeah, I love that. And yeah, props to Ann Johnson. I agree. She, you know, she's a person, she's a mom of a decent sized family. She gives a lot of her time to help out within her church and her community that she's also involved in. She gives a lot there. And she's a girl that, I mean, blows my mind. I mean, maybe, I mean, knowing, you know, all the things she does and all that, and as much time as she tries to find for her gym time. And for her, she did one of the most amazing things, I think, you know, showing up to a Spartan race and realizing she'd signed up on accident or something. I'm not sure exactly how this happened. She showed up for a sprint, which is a 3 to 5 mile race, and realized she had actually signed up for the Beast, which is a 13 to 15 mile race. And, you know, just with what she'd done training here, a small amount of running outside of here, she got herself through the Beast that day. Yeah. I mean, that's an accomplishment that I'll never forget about. And that's inspiration right there. When you remove the limitations, there are no limitations. You can accomplish anything that you set yourself out for.
You are your limitation.
That's right.
You limit yourself. And that's, again, just taking that step forward, say, okay, what can I accomplish? What can I do to get over that wall? What does it look like on the other side of that wall? And what it looks like is success. And what it looks like is, that wasn't that difficult. Some things, yeah, things are hard. Just, listen.
Or maybe it was, but it was worth it. It's going to be hard, but it was worth it.
Exactly. It is worth it. Just like school. For me to get through this bachelor's degree, and a lot of people are like, oh, bachelor's degree, that's not that big of a deal. But for me, that's a big challenge. Just like working out for some people, it's a big challenge. Going to school for me, at the age, when I started, I think it was 45. To go, I mean, that wasn't my plan in my life, man. My plan was to enjoy being 45 and going out and doing things with my wife and going on backpacking trips with, you know, CoreFit and other adventures and just doing things. But when I got this position and that was the goal, okay, I got, you know, if I want to maintain this job, I got to get that degree. And I would have never have gone to school had it not been for this job. And to achieve that, you know, I'm sitting here trying to look back at it now. I was like, ah, man, that's a big accomplishment. And I remember the success that I was feeling because of the classes. I had to take 122 credits. And I remember when I got down to the point of, I was able to count on one hand, I have 5 classes left. Oh my God, okay, I'm there. I finally get to see the light. And then when I got down to 4 fingers, I was like, oh, this is getting better. And then the 3, and then the 2. And now I'm down to 1. I got 1 class left. And I could just, it's the same thing of trying to bench a certain weight or trying to squat a certain rate or trying to run.
Sorry, we had a brief interruption there, but picking back off where Darren was left and off, leaving off, talking about our, you know, comparing his journey, his accomplishments to getting that next, how it relates to getting that next accomplishment in the gym.
Yeah, just like I said, just, you know, going through school for me was difficult, and to finally get to the end of seeing the light, getting down to one class, and I just know the weight that's going to be lifted off of me, and then be able to get my life back where I feel that, you know, in order for me to educate myself, I'd rather be able to choose and just and pick books that I want to read for fun, not to read a book because I have to take a test. And, you know, so accomplishing those things is same thing, going to the gym, finding challenges. Again, something that I probably would have never done is go to school and work on my bachelor's. And I even kick it around a little bit. Do I want to go for my master's now just to be able to achieve that? Because I don't like to limit myself. But in a way, I still think I'd rather just go
get certified. There's an individual that works out here, John Gilbert, that he does motivational interviewing. That's something I'm totally interested in. There's another individual that does leadership classes that I've talked to see if that can work out someday. But, you know, I listen to podcasts of Brian Johnson. So what can I do to better myself? And now I can put that in front of me. And the schooling has helped me do that. Schooling has helped me accomplish something that I knew that it's not something that I ever would have done. But because that was put in front of me, I was able to achieve that challenge. And I think that's his life, is just don't be the person that limits yourself. Go out there and challenge yourself. Put things in front of you. And accomplish if you can accomplish those things. Even if you don't accomplish them, the thing is, you still tried. And that's the biggest thing, is to go out there and try. Give it your all. Is that the best version of yourself that you can be? And then you can't go wrong. You know, that's the big, if I can give any word of advice here, if you guys take anything from this, is try to be the best version of yourself. And is what you're doing in your life right now contributing towards that? Is this what you're doing contributing to being the best version of you? And if not, what can you do? What does that look like? How can you move forward? And some of you that maybe, if you're not CoreFit members, maybe this is the place for you to be, is here at CoreFit.
I definitely think I give everyone, yeah, just one piece of advice is to ask yourself, what can you do right now to do that? To do exactly what Darren just said. What can you do right now to get 1% better? That's all you have to do is 1%. We're not asking you to go from 0 to 100. We're asking you to go to 0 to 1 today. That's where you're going to notice the biggest difference, is just starting that momentum, feeling that momentum. And, you know, I think that's why, Darren, you've been such a huge inspiration here, is that everyone, you know, looks at you and knows you're not perfect, you know, knows that you're not eating perfect diet every single day, and you're not doing all these other things. You know, you enjoy a beer every day almost, or so, right? And then yeah. You know, you definitely enjoy your desserts here and there too.
Yep, I'm a dessert connoisseur for sure.
But yet you still show up here, and yet you still, you know, live your fittest life. You still experience life and you enjoy life. And I think that's why you've been such an inspiration to those around you. And I know now, with graduating school here right around the corner, you've got a lot of big goals we've been talking about over the course of while you've been in this last half of your process through school. So I think that would be the next step here, is to kind of have you back on, you know, in a few months and talk about what's it been like now. What's life like with this extra time? What are you doing with it? Where is it going? How are those goals coming along?
Yeah, and those are things, you know, I get inspired by other people. Right now, we got two people at the gym, David Jakes and Craig. I said Craig's last name, Craig P. You know, these guys, Craig has been on a long journey. He's again, somebody that's super inspirational to me. He's lost well over 100 pounds. And when he, you know, came to CoreFit, he was already in this process of losing weight. But then he wanted to start putting on some muscle and doing other things. And Craig has just put big goals in front of himself. He's here showing up, doing double workouts, you know, spending time after the gym. Same thing with David Jakes right now, a good close friend of mine. You know, I challenged both of them. Hey, Montana, let's May 6th, whatever it is, let's go do the beast. They're like, what is that? What do you mean, let's do the beast? You know, it's 13 miles and 24 plus obstacles. They're like, And DJ, David Jakes, I call him DJ, he's ran marathons. He's not in the best shape right now, but right now he's working on it. He's already dropped 15 pounds with his diet program that he's doing. Again, Craig is dropped well over 100 pounds. Those guys run. They have the endurance. So that part I knew wasn't an issue for them. But I wanted to challenge them for the strength portion of it. I wanted to challenge them to say, hey, let's go do this. Let's do it together. I've done the beast twice. Both times, I would say, I mean, I finished the race. I wouldn't say it was something that I accomplished very well. The first year I did it, I started cramping around mile 4, and then about mile 6, mile 7, I was full-blown cramps. My whole body was cramping up. I didn't train right. I was going to school. I wasn't doing any running. The only exercise I was doing was Kurt's gym. I didn't like to go out and do any extra running. So, but I feel like what I do here at Kurt's gym, living that fit life, that it prepares me to go out and do anything. The part that ran into me was I wasn't hydrated enough, and my muscles weren't used to that repetition of all the hill climbing. It's 4,000 elevation climb.
And 60-minute workouts here versus doing, that was like 5 hours.
Yeah. So So when I did that, I almost quit. I was cramping up so bad. I mean, I almost quit. But when I got to each mile, I just used each mile as a marker. Like, okay, only 4 miles, or at that time it was 6. So I had 7 miles left. And then I got to the next mile. I go, okay, I got 6 miles left. And it was emotional. I mean, I cried a couple times on the event. There was a lady that passed me. I think she looked like she was 65 or 70 years old. And I'm like, what? And I'm sitting there on the side cramping. And she just runs past me. I'm like, ah, this sucks. I go, geez, here I'm struggling. And this lady just passed me looking like she was fresh. And I'm thinking, I've been on this course for 3 hours. How long has she been out here? You know, and she just passed me. I know she didn't start with me. So, but I put it in front of me. I finished. It was very emotional for me. It was a big challenge for me because that was just part of it, just to get through it. So then I did it again the next year. I wasn't really planning on it, but Kurt's like, hey, let's go do this. You know, I'm going to do some videoing. And I know I was just going along for the ride, but Kurt's like, oh, we'll do it together. I'm like, all right, that's cool. Yeah, it'd be cool to do it with my brother. It'd be a great experience, a great memory. So we did it, but again, I cramped a little bit. I didn't cramp as bad as I did the last year, but I cramped a little bit. So this year, my goal, because I'll be done with school here shortly in the end of February, that I'm going to do it with David Jakes and Craig, and we're going to go do this thing together. I'm going to be there to support them, and they're going to be there to support me. My goal is not to cramp, and their goal is just that we're going to get through the obstacles. And then, you know, if we fail an obstacle together, we'll just share the burpees. But it's going to be a great experience for the three of us. And Tony Longinotti's out there. If he's listening, he talked about doing this. Let's see if you want to join
us. Let's go, Tony.
Let's go, Tony. Let's do this thing.
You trained for that half before.
Yeah, you've done your next level too. Yeah. So the other challenge that I'm putting in front of myself right now that I'm looking into, I don't like to run, but I'm going to be 50 here in a year and a half. And I put a marker out there in front of me, not because I want to do it. It's just because I know I can do it. It's just not something I want to do, but because I know I can, I want to prove it, is maybe run a 50-mile race and do a trail run, a 50-mile trail run.
That's removing those limits.
That's moving. Yeah, that's getting over that wall. Right now, I'm on the other side of the wall looking at 50-mile run. I'm like, yeah, nah, I'm not sure, but I know on the other side of that, when I cross that finish line, of what an accomplishment that will be. And I know that 50-mile run, that I won't be by myself. I know my wife will be there, and I know that I'll have members from the gym that'll do it with me. And that's what's awesome about this gym. I mean, you got Diane Ginrich, you got Mike Southey, you got Jay Ginrich, Taco Cat. They went out and did 4 trifectas not too long ago. Last year?
Quadfecta, yeah. Which is 12 Spartan races.
12 Spartan races. I mean, and they also did the 35-mile.
The Ultra. They did an Ultra run, which was a 30-mile race. Lots of elevation there. And then they did the Ultra Spartan race as well, which is a 30-mile race with obstacles.
Yeah, I mean, just like I said, inspirational. Those are all things that inspire me to say, they're doing it. What's my excuse? And my excuse is me. I'm my excuse. And I should never be my excuse. So look out, 2020. We're going to be doing a 50-mile. I'm committing to
it. It's there. It's public now.
Oh, we're doing it.
There's no going back here. All right. We need to follow this up. Well, I think what would be awesome to actually have DJ and Craig come on too.
Yeah.
And maybe together, maybe with Darren. We'll follow up, see how everybody's doing, talk about that training progress. You guys can actually see, we're going to post some videos along the way. We've got one up with DJ. We're going to get one up with Craig here real soon. And a follow-up with DJ and see his progress he's already made since our first video just a couple weeks ago. So look for that on our Facebook page and Instagram page at Core Fit Inc.
Watch for the YouTube page.
Our YouTube page, we got videos that go up there too.
Up there, subscribe to that so you can get the videos when Kurt posts them.
Yeah, a lot of details on how you guys can train yourself for obstacles. I've got a podcast plan coming up too. Just giving you guys the breakdown of what you need to be doing if you're thinking about doing a Spartan race. What should you be training for? You know, what do you need? There's multi Spartan races, not just a run. You're not just training to run. If you were doing a marathon, you definitely need to run, obviously, but you know the exercise component of that is going to be a lot smaller. Yes, you should be doing some things to balance that body out, but that's probably going to be 10% of the work you do. With a Spartan race, It might be 60% of the work you need to do needs to be in the gym and 40% on your feet. Just depends. Depends on where you're at going into that. We'll talk about that in that upcoming episode. So be on the lookout for those.
Yeah. Go out there and be the best you. Be inspirational.
That's right. Thank you, Darren, for coming on here and hopefully inspiring a few more of you guys out there to think right now, what can you do to get to that next step? What can you do to get to your fittest self? Live your fit life.
Yes. Fit life, baby.
Thanks.